Okay, wonderful. So once again, welcome everyone. So good to have you all here. And I just want to go ahead and share a little miracle moment that just happened. So one of our practitioners, Bill, just returned this magazine to me, which I pretty sure I loaned out like 5 to 7 years ago. And I said, I'm sure I'm never going to get it back. So how cool is that? thank you so much for reminding me that miracles happen all the time. And you know what? You don't know where they're going to come from or what they're going to look like, but there's a little nudge. They happen all the time. So this is actually a continuation tonight's talk from last week. And last week's theme had to do with how every rose has its thorn. And I actually brought in a rose clipped from the garden where you could just really see the thorns on it. And was talking about how, you know, we just accept that roses have thorns, like it's just how they're made. And yet somehow we don't do that with ourselves. Like somehow we keep thinking that we're just supposed to be the flower and those thorns aren't supposed to exist. And so what if instead of rejecting the thorns of our human experience, we learn how to radically accept them? How if we can give ourselves the gift of that radical acceptance, we can really change our experience and learn how ultimately to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. So, one way that I've experienced this is with my outdoor adventures here in Flagstaff. We have the blessing of access to nature and for some reason I chose in a very adventurous way to interact with that by mountain biking and rock climbing and going on these big, huge hikes with heavy packs on. And I learned about this thing called Type 2 fun, which some of you might know about. Type 2 fun comes with some level of suffering. So it's like, oh, I get to get to the top of that mountain, but on the way there, I might get some blisters on my feet, or my shoulders might be super sore, or I could be incredibly hot and tired, and my mind's like, I don't want to do this anymore. But somehow, all of that suffering is worth it. Even if you don't make it to the top, somehow there's some enjoyment in that suffering. At least that's what can happen with the vo from the voice of experience. After you've been through it enough times, you kind of know it's going to be worth it if I just hang in there. So there can definitely be a blessing in that. Like right now, I have a cramp in my foot, and I know if I move, it'll get better, and that it's not going to stay that way. So you can kind of practice that learning how to be comfortable with the uncomfortable in all different kinds of ways, right? So the one of my first practices was in the grocery store, standing in line. I used to always be like, why do I always pick the longest line or the slowest line? Or why is this person writing a check right now in front of me? And then I learned how to change my perception of the present moment so that I stopped resenting the people in front of me or resenting what was happening and just like, oh, this is what waiting feels like. Okay, I can observe that and be present with waiting. Or the same kind of thing with being stuck in traffic, right? It's just kind of like, oh, why are these cars all here? Who are all these people? I want to be someplace else right now, you know, because that's what we do, right? We're in traffic and then we have all these stories about the traffic and how it shouldn't be that way, or when's it going to be over, or why did I choose to go this route instead of that route? And so we're already in this situation, which is traffic, and then we make it that much worse by the stories that we tell about traffic. And so part of this radical acceptance is being able to see clearly what's here right now. Because what is traffic? It's just a car that you're sitting in, and someone else is sitting in a car over there, and everyone's inching forward, and that's all that's happening. Really. But we have to make it into this big thing. And so, you know, it can apply all kinds of different situations. So somebody might not return a text or a phone call in the time frame that we have selected that they ought to. And so guess what? The clear seeing of that is they didn't respond in the way that we wanted them to. But what we do then is we make it all about all kinds of things, like, oh, they're so inconsiderate, not thoughtful, they don't like me, they don't want to be a friend, they're sending me another message right now, what does it mean? And we can get so swept up. But also we can practice the gift of just saying, well, maybe they just, you know, didn't return my text, and maybe that's not a problem. So, you know, just seeing it as it is enough to be able to shift the situation. And then the radical acceptance piece adds in some compassion, a little bit of compassion in there, because sometimes what we see is just, it's still a challenge. And so, you know, one way of practicing compassion is giving that person the benefit of the doubt and saying, well, you know, whatever that situation is, I understand. I'm going to practice patience and understanding and the gift of generosity of giving that person the benefit of the doubt. Or maybe it's giving yourself the compassion of a hand on your heart. And it's like, oh, it's hard when I have these thoughts of rejection. It's hard when I have these thoughts of not being loved. And we can be with ourselves with that story that our mind has created. So just kind of borrowing this from Tara Brach, who's done just an extensive amount of teaching about radical acceptance. And I encourage you to visit some of her talks. And then there's just the idea of bringing that hand on the heart, being with our breath, being with ourselves, and leaning into our discomfort in a present moment, and really being with that rather than what we also can do. And I've got plenty of experience with this, avoiding the heck out of it. I don't want to feel this way, so I'm going to do anything possible, including getting on this magical phone, which is ripe with distractions for sure. There are all the different ways that we avoid, right, with our addictions or the procrastination, or, oh my gosh, I think I need to clean that right now, or organize that right now, or whatever it might be. So, you know, part of this practice can be starting to learn how to be with what is. And along with that, doing it in a way where we're bringing that voice of experience with it too. So the type 2 fun voice of experience that says, okay, this is the schoolroom of life. I know that I'm here in school learning about life. And so this is happening because it's teaching me something. And can I see this moment as the teacher that it is, as the bringer of my growth, my understanding, my healing, my knowledge? Can I let this moment and this experience bring me closer to the present moment and closer to the ultimate teaching of, like, how can I love myself in this moment? How can I support myself in what I'm experiencing right now? And and learning how to bring kindness to what we experience, all of the tragedies, all of the struggles. Can we remember to bring love to that? The hand on the heart, the soft breath, relaxing the jaw, reminding ourselves that that we can open our hearts. And so, you know, I was thinking about this being comfortable with uncomfortable. I have a little story to tell. But I was thinking about caterpillars inside their little yummy cocoons before they become a butterfly. Like, they don't know that they're going to become a butterfly. And they're just like, oh, warm and comfy. It's so nice in there. It's all I don't know if it's squishy, but that's the word that's coming up. I don't know if that is the right one for comfortable, but boy, it's where they want to be. But then transformation happens and their life is completely different. And so a lot of times what we do, and especially in this culture, is we seek comfort and we seek easy, and that's promoted. So you want to have the most comfortable chair. You want to have the least amount of effort to get from one place to the next. And so we get a little soft, and it's harder to do type 2 fun when everything's easy all the time. So sometimes it's good to bring a little challenge into our lives. You know, if we just stay in our comfort zone, you know, yes, we can feel safe inside our little cocoon. And there's nothing wrong with that. So not making it wrong, but just offering a suggestion or the potential that sometimes letting ourselves step outside of our comfort zone, taking a little risk, doing something that we're not used to, can help us grow, can help us transform into even more beautiful roses than we already are. And one of the ways that it helps us bring forward our beauty is that it takes courage to take that risk, to step out of the comfort zone. So just that fortification of courage is a way that we grow, right? We gain confidence. We all kinds of beautiful miracles can arise from, you know, taking a step in a certain direction that you don't know what it is. But it's actually really funny. There's actually a set of stairs on the cover of this magazine. How to get over the obstacles on your spiritual path. You can do it. And part of the reason why this is actually a really big night, I'm glad you all are here right now, because I am taking a risk in this moment that you may not be aware of. But I've been dyeing my hair for over 20 years, and I would never let the gray show more than like this much before I dyed it again. And I recently was encouraged to stop doing that for health reasons, just to stop putting chemicals on my head all the time, because I've been really working on supporting the inflammatory response in my body. And of course, I thought about not dyeing my hair for a while, but then I always was like, no, I'm not ready yet. I can't. And this kind person came into my world, and she's like, honey, you really got to stop using those chemicals. And we could use this process, but really, you're going to be so beautiful with your gray hair. Just grow it out. You can do it. You can do it, is what she said. And I was just like, I made that face. Like, I don't want to. I don't want to, because you know what? I'm going to look old. I am going to, and this is what's happening, is I'm going to look more like my mother. When I look in the mirror now, I see my mother. And that brings up all kinds of things, because it's a relationship that has thorns. And that I might desire looking different than it is, but there's pain with that. And so I'm reminded when I see my own reflection, and I have there's fears about, oh, am I going to be able to invite in my beloved? Is, you know, who, you know, am I, I'm going to look older. How am I going to be selected? And so much has come up, so much discomfort from this exploration of, do I grow my hair out gray? But I decided to do it with the caveat that I can change my mind. And here it is. Look at all this. Can you guys see it on the TV? I don't know, but it's pretty. I mean, there's a lot. And you know what? It's actually funny that because I've just made the decision, I brought this radical acceptance to, you know what? I have gray hair and I'm going to grow it out. I'm going to see what do I look like? I don't even know what I look like. And so it's brought this level of curiosity. What am I going to look like with gray hair? What am I going to look like when I'm my authentic self? And so that's really been a primary purpose in my life, is just doubling down on my authenticity in all the moments. And so here's a way, and I'm not judging other people, but for me, it's almost like my hair has been a lie. It's been an untruth that I just consistently just keep saying to myself, it's okay. You can stay in denial, but I am getting older. I'm 49 years old. And boy, am I grateful that I've gotten to live 49 years, you know, and I welcome this gray hair. I welcome the change. It's so dang uncomfortable. Like every time I see my reflection, I'm just like, oh, geez. Oh, this is definitely type 2 fun. And it's just like immediate, like, oh my gosh, bring some kindness to that. Bring some encouragement, some understanding, some, like, you know, just nudge yourself along, keep going. And part of that too is just being open with everyone else and just saying, okay, here it is. This is what I'm doing. And receiving the support and the encouragement from other people, you know. So, yeah. So there's my story about my gray hair. And, you know, I wanted to share that with you because there is really a process for how to be with the discomfort and how to be with the hard things, you know. And I did just name some of it, just like being radically honest. Okay, this is what's happening. Bringing some compassion to that. And then I have this really beautiful quote from Carl Rogers, who was a really well-known psychotherapist. And he said, the curious paradox is that when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change. And that's really it. Is that once we're in that place of like, okay, the hair is gray. I accept it. I'm allowing it to be the way that it is. And then what's the change? Oh, God, I'm taking the fight out of my existence right now. I'm removing the battle. I'm removing the judgment. I'm removing the suffering and just learning how to be with what is. So there's this practice of surrender. And mixed in with that, it's like this little recipe, right? A little willingness goes a long way. And if we can just bring a little willingness to those uncomfortable moments that we're stepping into and just like, okay, this is what's happening. Okay. All right. I think okay is like the key word, really. Like, okay, this is what's happening. And then remembering our meditation practice too, because in meditation, we have the opportunity to refocus our attention every moment. We can notice, oh my gosh, I was just lost in a story. Oh, that means I'm aware right now because I know I was lost in a story. So woohoo, go awareness. And then I can bring my attention back to where I'd like it to be. And we have choice there. Where do I want my attention? Maybe it's just on my breath. Maybe it's on my body. Maybe it's on those encouraging words. Or maybe it's on a different perception, changing our perception of what it is that we see. Because oftentimes our view of a situation is built on our conditioning and built on what our family taught us or what we've accumulated in our beliefs in our lifetime. But it turns out there's a whole other way to see. And, you know, you could even think about it with this this phone of mine. So you all can see the sparkly side right here. But I'm looking at the same thing and I see something else on this side. And so it's the same thing, but we can learn how to see it in a different way. And we can learn and teach ourselves how to perceive the present moment from a place of our own liberation and our own freedom. And so we can set the intention of, I want to be free. I want to transform. I want to grow. And if we prioritize that, we can remember that as we're meeting these challenging situations in our life. So we're not trying to make them go away, cover them up, make them wrong. Rather, we're just saying, I would like to be able to relate to this moment in a way that helps my heart stay open, in a way that leads to more freedom and peace in my heart and in my mind and in my relationships. And I know how to do that. I know how to do that. And so just kind of reminding ourselves of that particular piece is that we know how to redirect our attention where we want it to be. And so our meditation practice, one of my teachers, we always says this on retreat. He says, you know, okay, we're done with our meditation sit, but you're not done meditating. So bring your practice off your cushion and into your life. And that's really, you know, what we're doing here, right? Is we're learning how to meditate in all the moments. And we have, that's where our practice really pays off, you know? So kind of circling back around to another piece of the compassion as well that I thought I would offer you as we close this talk. Number one, actually, I thought I would bring a little humor in. I forgot to do this earlier, but I feel compelled to do it. Maybe because I have like, I'm showing off the gray hair, but I thought I would just make a funny moment. So I was talking about how every rose has its thorn, right? And I realized today, I was like, wait, that's an old rock ballad from Poison. Every rose has its thorn. Just like every night as it's dawn. So who knew the big hair band had this like cosmic understanding? yeah. And so, you know, we can get that from a big hair band or we can get that from an ancient, very wise philosopher, Rumi, who said, you are not a drop in the ocean, but you are the entire ocean in a drop. And we forget that. We forget how incredibly magical and miraculous we are. So bringing that in right now, I thought I would give you guys just a little visual journey. Any of you who have the opportunity to be outside in the woods on a regular basis, or perhaps you have a memory of being out in the woods and seeing all the trees. So you might close your eyes right now and just let yourself kind of have that visual journey. Here in Northern Arizona and in Flagstaff, we have this ginormous ponderosa pine forest, where it seems like every tree is the same. And yet, if you spend time out there, you can see some are wider than others, some are skinnier than others, some are taller. Some have branches that grow sideways at weird angles. Some have been struck by lightning and they're just a husk of a tree. Some actually smell like butterscotch when you get really close. But when we're in the forest and we're observing all these trees, we don't criticize them for being too small or too fat or not smelling. They're just trees. And we can just be with that. We can enjoy that they're just trees and they're absolutely beautiful in all their iterations, all the different shapes and sizes. And so are we. So are we. It's just a story in the mind that says that we are less than or not enough or something's wrong with us or the same about other people in our lives. That's just stories. Those are things that we can redirect our focus from after we meet them with kindness and love and understanding. And then we can remember that we are not a drop in the ocean, but we are the entire ocean in a drop. Precious and magical miracles. Oh, thank you all so much for joining me on the journey in the forest. Such a pleasure to spend this time with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.